It's Friday, the 6th of May, 2016. Happy birthday to Alexia Ginza, Ryan Anderson, Sam Decker, Goran Dragic, Chris Paul, and Jonas Valanciunas. To the Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Sweet Stash Bro. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to sponsor the podcast like Sweet Stash Bro, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for an episode. So thank you, Sweet Stash Bro. Thank you to everyone else who has done that so far this season. If you are watching this show live on YouTube, which you can always do for every show, if you're watching this delayed on YouTube, first of all, an apology. There's something happening with the graphics. I can't get the graphics up on the screen, so you're not seeing any fancy title bars. Unfortunately, we do the perfect DFS lineup. That won't come up on the screen because there's an issue, and I can't get it to work. I'm still working on it, but I thought, you know what, just get the show out there, broadcast it. We'll try and get it fixed for the next episode. But if you are watching live and you want to interact with the show, you can tweet at me at redrock_beeble. That is my Twitter handle. You can always contact me there at any stage. But if you want to interact with the show live, that is the Twitter handle to do it at. We've got our games to talk about. We've got Thursday's action. We're previewing Friday's two games. So without further ado,
let's get to it.
Okay, the last time we didn't record on Thursday because, as I said, I covered Wednesday's and Thursday's games in Wednesday's show. The last time we recorded a podcast for Wednesday, Jonas Valanciunas was the monstrous line of the night. Well, it's a case of deja vu on for today's show. Jonas Valanciunas is the monstrous line of the night. He has been tremendous in these playoffs. He's definitely breaking out. He played 38 minutes in the Raptors' overtime victory in Game 2. He scored 15 points. He had 12 rebounds. He had 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. He is supremely efficient, going 7 of 9 from the field. And he has had a really good playoffs. I was very critical of Dwayne Casey early, and I'll still be critical of him now. He did not play him enough in the first round series. He plays him now more, but still doesn't go to him often enough. When you're shooting 7 of 9, only having 9 shots is ridiculous. DeMar DeRozan took 24. Kyle Lowry took 22. Both shot under 40%. Damari Carroll took 13 shots as well. Terrence Ross took 11 shots. Corey Joseph took 7. Valanciunas took 9. Just go to this guy. What he does is offense. Get it into him. Stop giving him so few options down low, and he will be an absolute animal. And I've said this for about 3 seasons, and Dwayne Casey starting to actually play him more, and but not featuring him enough. He is a tremendous offensive player. He's an absolute animal in terms of strength and size, and his moves are good. He's too much for a lot of guys down low. He doesn't get used anywhere near well enough by Casey, but he's definitely breaking out. I'd love to see him with a different coach there and see how he could perform under that sort of circumstance. But for now, he's stuck with Casey. There's going to be frustration aside. But even in limited use in the last two games, he has been the monstrous DFS line of the night. The DFS value play of the day, we're in Toronto again. Obviously, there was only one game. It was Damari Carroll. He was at 4,400 and he put up 36.5. I've been preaching. Well, not preaching. I don't like that word. I've been saying for a while that he is going to have a big game and he is going to return tremendous value. Predicting when it's going to happen is tough, but it happened here. He put up 36.5 points. He went 21-5. He hit 3 threes and he had 4 steals. He's ridiculously underpriced at that. Not underpriced for his production because it hasn't been great, but we knew that the minutes were there. Something was going to click for Carroll, and it clicked very much so in Game 2. The dud of the night is Dwayne Wade. He was at 7,800. He put up just 23.7, tweaked his ankle a little bit as well. He had 17 points in 38 minutes with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Not a great shooting night from Wade, who's had a pretty good playoffs, but definitely not his best performance. Now we're going to talk about the perfect DFS lineup. I can't bring it up on the screen because, again, the graphics aren't working. Don't know why. But we'll go through a Wednesday-Thursday perfect lineup. At point guard, it was Kyle Lowry at 33.8 and Goran Dragic at 28.8. Wednesday's game was just a massive blowout between the Cavs and the Hawks, so there really wouldn't have been much to talk about in that one anyway. Shooting guard, J.R. Smith, he was pretty good, 29.4, and DeRozan had 37.1. At small forward, it was Carroll at 36.5 and LeBron at 43.3 in that demolition of the Hawks. At power forward, Paulie Millsap, 31.7, and Chris Humphreys off the bench for a big performance, 26.3. Don't count on that happening all that often. and at centre Jonas Valanciunas 38.4, with a total of that lineup being 305.3, a pretty low scoring lineup indeed. Let's have a look at this Miami-Toronto game. The series evened up one apiece now with the Raptors getting that victory. Both overtime games. I'm glad. I want the Raptors to win. I think they deserve the victory. I really hope they win, because so I don't have to have conversations with people like I've been having with Vivek on Twitter about how the Raptors are a regular season team only and the Heat deserve to beat them. The Raptors are trash. All this sort of stuff. I want them to win. I need them to get through. I want it to back up my argument. Yes, they've had some issues and the backcourt has been really, really poor. But hey, I really like the Raptors and I want them to get through. Anyway, the game. Hassan Whiteside played 39 minutes. He struggled to get 30 minutes in the regular season. He's being unleashed a bit now. Great defensive numbers. 3 steals and 3 blocks. He was 13-13 and hit 5 of his 7 shots from the field. A big night from Whiteside. Dragic was great. That's 3 in a row big games from Dragic. 24-4, a block, 2 triples. Supremely efficient as well. 8 of 12 from the field. He needs to be more involved, but he won't be while Wade's there unless Wade decides. Wade thinks he's a superstar still, and he's not. And yes, he's had some big moments and some big performances, but he is not a superstar at all. And Dragic needs to have the ball in his hand more than what Wade does. Luol Deng played 42 minutes. He went 12-6, had a couple of steals, a couple of threes. A nice, solid night from him. And Joshy Richardson, 5-4 in his 27 minutes. And the minutes are there. The production's not great. 17-5-4 for Joe Johnson. That's a solid performance. And the bench, Justice Winslow has been really marginalized in these playoffs. He started off by playing 30 minutes a night, keeps gradually going down and down and down, and only the 14 minutes in this one for the rookie. We know that he is everything's profiling for him to be a great player in the NBA, but just not happening at this point. On the Raptors, Valanciunas was great. Carroll was great. Lowry played 47 minutes. He went 18-4-6 with 3 steals. So on the surface, that's great counting stats. But efficiency going 7 of 22 and then 3 of 6 from the line is really poor, and he's continued to be poor through most of these playoffs. DeRozan, similar story. 9 of 24 for 20 points. 8 rebounds and 3 steals. Still really good, but not efficient at all. Normie Powell got the start. Really early foul trouble bothered him. 3 fouls in just 9 minutes. 2 points and a steal. And they went with Terrence Ross, who played well for his second consecutive game. 10 points in 28 minutes for Ross. He is risky. He is unreliable. But he's played well the last two, and you would imagine that Casey will continue to use him a bit more as his faith in Powell drops just that little bit. Pat back to the bench, 17 minutes for him. He's not being used. They're running that small lineup a lot with Carroll at the 4 and getting Ross and Powell in as well, and that's really limiting what Patterson can do. And Bismack Biyombo, he's only playing when Valanciunas is off the court. Obviously, they won't play together. He played 14 minutes, and Valanciunas, the more minutes he plays, the less of an impact that Bismack Biyombo can have. All right, let's talk about today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month. You get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. Every month, the guys at Loot Crate create a theme of the items they're going to send out, and that theme runs until the 19th of that month at 9 p.m. Pacific. It is done. You will not get that theme again. So make sure if you're interested in it, you get across there. And if you want to see what Loot Crate has to offer, don't Google Loot Crate. Don't type in Loot Crate. Don't go to lootcrate.com. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. That tells the guys that you came from listening to this podcast and helps the show. And then if you're interested in signing up, whether it's for yourself for a monthly subscription or for a friend, for a relative, a girlfriend, boyfriend, you can use the coupon code REDROCK and save $3 off any new subscription. May's specific theme is power. With the onslaught of big summer blockbusters coming, May is the perfect time to celebrate some of pop culture's unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters and objects. We've got something you can carry, something for your kitchen, and a cool figure to go with a monthly t-shirt and pin. It features 2 Marvel items plus Warcraft and Dragon Ball Z stuff. No one crate should have all this power. So lootcrate.com/redrock to check out the power pack, the power crate that they've got over there on Loot Crate at the moment. Did have a tweet just come in there. Zubin Petrao. Is Jonas Valanciunas a top 5 center in the NBA? No. DeAndre Jordan, DeMarcus Cousins. Depends what you're calling Anthony Davis. Karl-Anthony Towns, Marc Gasol. There's five guys. Look, I think Valanciunas is really good. He's not top. Cousins, Towns, Gasol. There's three right there. Who else would we put there off the top of my head? Horford is ahead of him. You probably wouldn't consider Whiteside. You might consider Whiteside to be better than him at the moment. Tim Duncan's a center, but yeah, we know where his career is headed at the moment. Dwight Howard is probably still better than Jonas Valanciunas. Drummond, DeAndre Jordan. Yep, no, he's not a top five center. Good question though. Daniel Charles asking about the title of this podcast, which you would have seen. He says, "What does choo-choo-chunas mean?" Okay, so the title of the podcast is Jonas, I choo-choo-chunas you. It's a Simpsons reference. If you're unaware, I'm sure anyone who knows what the reference is would have got it immediately. It's a Simpsons episode where Ralph Wiggum has a Valentine's Day card that he gives to Lisa, and on the front of the card it's got a train and it says I choo-choo-choose you. So I'm just making a really, really bad pun with the chew part of Jonas Valanciunas' name and saying I choo-choo-choonus you. If you understood what the reference was, please let me know. So I'm not the only one here who's coming up with these things and going, you know what, that's going to work. Maybe it was absolutely terrible, but that's what the reference is in regard to our big Ralph Wiggum. Thank you, Daniel, for chiming in and asking that question, which I'm sure plenty of people were wondering what the hell I was going on about. Anyway, let's get to these DFS games. Let's talk about them. The first one, this is for Friday. There's two games. It's Cleveland and Atlanta. The Hawks are back in Atlanta. They're going to want to make sure they're not get pumped again as they did in the first two. The Cavs are favored by three. The total is 199 points. Let's look at the point guards. Dennis Schroeder put up a robust 7 points in game two. He only played 14 minutes. That is the concern. With playing Schroeder. Daniel Charles tweets back in a bit, talking about top five centers in the league. He says Towns is still a rookie. Don't give a shit. He's clearly a top five center in the NBA, in my opinion. Cousins, Gasol, those names. He's a top five center. Schroeder, 7 points in 14 minutes. That's the problem with him is, yes, he will have a huge night where he goes there and gets hot and plays 28 minutes and scores 30, 40 points. And you go, shit, that's a great performance from Schroeder. But if it's not on, he's not playing. He's not playing through bad nights. He's only playing big minutes when he's really on. If he's not on, it's just not happening. And that's the risk with him. Yeah, it makes him a tournament option, maybe at 3,900, but not really in a cash game situation. I think he's worth floating out there and considering, but not massively keen. Jeff Teague at 6,200, he was okay. In only 23 minutes in game two, he put up 25 points. He's at 6,200. He's not a bad guy if you're looking for that mid-price point guard to go for. You're going to have to go cheap. I think going cheap at center and shooting guard is probably the way to go in this slate. Small forward, power forward, you're going to have to spend up. So point guard, you're probably going to have to split it. But Teague's a good option. Kyrie at 7,900 has been really good, averaging 37 across the last three. Had only 31 in game two, but played just 23 minutes, so that skews his numbers a little bit. Absolutely think he should be looked at. Dellavedova, not really. At shooting guard, let's look at this. It's J.R. Smith. He's playing pretty well. He's at $5,000, put up 29 in the last game. In a cash game situation, he's a little bit harder to trust, but I don't hate him at the moment because he's getting a lot of minutes and he's not as wildly inconsistent as what he was earlier in the regular season and earlier in the playoffs. I like him for cash, love him for tournaments. Kyle Korver was completely eliminated in the two games against Cleveland, only put up 9.7 in game two, took one shot in game one. He's at 3,800. Yes, he could get things going, but they're making it a real mission to really deny Korver an opportunity. At 3,800, he's a flyer in a tournament, but I honestly don't love it. You might have to go that way, though. It really depends. I think Smith is almost a lock in any lineup, but you might want to chuck in Danny Green, Manu Ginobili from the other game, Deion Waiters. I think all those guys are potentially better options than Korver, given the way the Cavs have been defending him. In this game, Shumpert, Hardaway, they're not going to play enough for us to really care about them for DFS. Small forward, this is where a lot of action's happening. LeBron at 10,600 is a really good option. He put up 43.3 in 28 minutes in game two. He's really got the Hawks measure. being in Atlanta, maybe the game's closer. Maybe LeBron has to play longer and put up bigger numbers. I love him at 10,600 here. This should be a 50 for LeBron. Bazemore, on the other hand, was really bad in game two, but he's been playing pretty well against Cleveland so far. At 5,400, I reckon if you're going cheap at small forward, which might not be the optimal way to go, Bazemore has to be the guy that you look at. Mike Scott is not doing much in this series. Thabo, really limited. Dick Jefferson, James Jones, they're not factors. At power forward, Paulie Millsap at 8,600. He put up 32 points in game two in just 27 minutes, and he's played really well against Cleveland, which is a strange thing because power forwards have really struggled. 8,600 for Millsap feels a little bit expensive. You can go 1,000 less and take Kevin Love, who is averaging a little bit less, but I still think that he is probably the better option to go to if you're looking to save that money. Obviously, if you've got a spare $1,000 around there, you go with Millsap. If you don't, I think Love is probably the best guy to go for. Love put up 29 points in 26 minutes in game two. Channing Frye was also good in game two, put up 23 points, and Humphreys had his 26, but they got 20 minutes and 15 minutes respectively, and that's just an unlikely scenario for game three. I think Frye is in a pretty decent matchup spot, but for him to get 20 minutes, you're expecting on a big blowout. I just don't think the Hawks are going to get blown out by that much again. At center, Tristan Thompson didn't do much, but didn't play many minutes. At 4,800, people will be off him. I do think that he is primed for a 30-point performance here, so I like him. Al Horford at 7,200. Yeah, not a bad guy to look at. Really disappointing in both games, actually. But I think this is a great bounce-back opportunity for Horford. But I don't love him all that much. I think that center's a spot where you really do want to go cheap by using someone like Tristan Thompson. The second game of the night we'll get to in just a sec. Before that, we're going to have a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. All right, that is done. Let's talk about the Spurs and the Thunder. We're in San Antonio. No, we're not. We're in Oklahoma City for Game 3. The Spurs are favored by 2.5. The total is 200 points. Point guard, it's Russell Westbrook. He's at 10,900. 55 points in Game 2. I think Westbrook's a pretty decent shot for 50 points. But the Spurs defense could trouble him. And I would rather be spending 10,000 on, say, LeBron than I would on Russell Westbrook at this point. Another cheap point guard you can consider is Tone Parker. He's at 4,700. He's been okay. You know, 20 points over the last three games is not spectacular, but it's not bad at 4,700. And if you're looking to save some money, there's not many other point guards at that price who you know are going to be playing 27 minutes, not plus. Well, he could play 30 minutes. He's got that upside to do it, and I do like using Tone Parker here. Patty Mills has been really poor in terms of DFS production lately, and campaign, 3,500. Hey, maybe, but it's a massive long shot. At shooting guard, more value on the cheap guys here. Manu is at 3,700. His price dropped by 100 bucks despite putting up 20 points in game two. I think at 3,700, I do like Manu. He's a 20-point performer. Danny Green at 4,100, fine with using him. Probably a bit risky in a cash game, but he's playing a lot more minutes. He's looking a little bit better, or a lot better. And at 4,100, that's not exceptional. I am fine with him in both sort of formats as well. Dion Waiters was bad. He had 2 points in his 25 minutes in game two, including that crazy finish, the shove of Ginobili. He's at minimum salary. He is a great tournament punt. I think that his ownership will be pretty low, and he could give you 25 points in a game back home. It could happen. Robertson, no thanks. Morrow, Foy, no interest. Small forward is where it's all at here. Again, we've got Durant, we've got Kawhi. Kawhi put up 33 in game two. He's at 9,100. Durant's at 10,000. I'm taking Kawhi over Durant. You could think that Durant, yes, he's back at home, but he's just, I don't know, he's averaging less than a point per minute over his last five games, and that's not great. You'd want him to be doing, you know, more than that, like 1.2, 1.3, to really return value at 10,000. The defense of Kawhi is a concern. On Durant, I would rather save the 900 bucks, take Kawhi, put LeBron in there, and I think that that's a great pairing at small forward. Using Durant's not wrong. It's all about how you want to spend your money. And you pretty much have to spend it at small forward on this slate. At power forward, I think this is where a bit of money has to go as well. LaMarcus Aldridge is at 8,900 now. His salary's risen by 300. He dropped a nice casual 59 in game two. He might not be quite as effective in Oklahoma City, but the Thunder and Dion Waiters has come out and said that we don't care if Aldridge gets all of his, so they might just let him go off. So at 8,900, spending up on Aldridge could really pay off. It could be another 50-pointer, but that salary is maybe pushing him just a little bit too high. It doesn't mean he's a complete fade at all, because he still could go for another 45 or 50. In fact, he's averaging 46 points across his last three. but just be a little bit concerned, a little bit weary. 5,600 for Serge Ibaka. If you're saving on power forwards, he's one of the best guys out there. Had 25 in game two. I think he'll be better in game three. I think he's got 30-point upside here. 5,600 is definitely not a much for Ibaka. He was at over 7,000 for big chunks of the season. Yes, he's dropped off, but he's worth looking at. You know, Dave West, Boris Diaw, Nick Collison. This is why you can't go cheap at power forward, because are any of these guys going to do it? Maybe Dave West at 39 I could slot in if I'm looking to save some money at power forward. At centre, Steve Adams has been playing sensationally well. He's averaging 29 points across the last three in 33 minutes. He's been favoured over Kanter in the first two games of this series. He had a 34-point performance in game two. He's at 4,900. I really like using Steve Adams here, because if he gets 30 points or 30 minutes plus, he's going to put up numbers. A great article about him on ESPN over the last couple of days as well that you should read. He's a real funny guy, and I really super enjoy listening to him in interviews, even if he is from New Zealand. Kanter at 4,800, had 25 in game two, much better than his game one performance. He's definitely an option as well. You can use both those guys. I'd probably lean a little bit more towards Adams at the moment, just given the way that they're distributing the minutes. But Kanter is obviously a much better per minute producer. And if you think that for some reason he gets 24 or 25, it's a no-brainer to use him. Timmy Duncan at 4,900. Really not producing very much at all at the moment, but he's still getting enough minutes to think that at 4,900 you could use him, but I would prefer to use Adams myself. All right, we are done for today. Not putting up a DFS picks of the day because A, the graphics aren't working, and B, whenever there's two games, it's better just to talk it all out. Putting it up, there'd be a lot of no ones and conflicting guys. I think it's better to talk it out when there's only two games on. So that's what I'm doing here. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball and basketballmonster at baskmonster. Of course, there's the Facebook page. Go and like the posts over there. Interact with them. That's a great way to have a chat. On Twitter, you can do that with me as well. Subscribe on YouTube. Give a thumbs up if you are watching. And if you're listening to this podcast from whichever podcast catcher you're using, give it a review. It helps tremendously. And share it amongst your friends, if you could be so kind. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.